Good call, Mullen. Very good call. Rolling Stones, the headliner for SARS-Stock.
SARS-Stock.
The O-Dog made the most shocking comment in Overdrive history. Doesn't know SARS-Stock.
I think I have one thing that I remember about SARS-Stock. It might have been SARS-Stock. Didn't they boo Bieber?
No, it was Timberlake.
It was Timberlake. And apparently, people are writing in that people threw urine at him. Like, who the hell would do that?
Because it was just a rocker fest, and then this guy showed up, and they were like, get the hell off the stage.
I think Justin Timberlake is really talented.
He's awesome.
But you've got to remember, this was back in 03, so he was coming out of the NSYNC era.
Yeah.
So this would be like Bieber showing up at a concert.
At a Metallica
concert.
So that was SARS-Stock.
That was SARS-Stock.
Yeah.
And the Stones were there. AC/DC was there. Guess Who? Rush. There were a bunch of great, great bands.
Well, AC/DC would probably be in the...
AC/DC stole the show.
Springsteen. Like, there's some legendary acts out there. That's why, like, if you personally have the Stones at number one, like, for me, there's some real close ones right there.
Well, I think SARS-Stock alone points out that everyone else has the Stones number one, too. They were the headliners. I mean, AC/DC, they were brilliant. They were so good. There were about 450,000 people there, and AC/DC was hopping.
Yeah.
But then the Stones, in typical fashion, had to wait like 45 minutes before they came out because they had to make it their show and all that kind of stuff. And they were good. They got hopping. I can't believe you had never heard that before. SARS-Stock, SARS-a-palooza.
I remember the whole schmazzle. It's terrible.
I think that's the only thing I remember is the booing. I thought it was Bieber, though.
No, it was Timberlake.
He was around back then. He's still young.
It was a tough crowd for him because, again, you've got the grittiest of grinders, AC/DC and Stones fans, and the Guess Who, and there's Timberlake singing "I'm Bringing Sexy Back," and doing his dancing routine.
Yeah,
what I've always been shocked by, and I've never understood the motivation behind this. People were throwing shoes at him, so like you take your own shoe off and you sacrifice a shoe.
You're walking home with no shoe.
You're walking around with no shoe to do what?
For me, that's grounds for a taser. Like, you want to be an idiot? Cops taser you, chicken wing you out there, rough you up in the cell, and you spend the night in the clink.
So if you ran the city, and you could do whatever you want, if you were the emperor...
I would never run the city because I wouldn't do a very good job.
But let's say this is back in the day, and you were born into it, now you're the emperor.
Okay.
If someone threw a shoe, you would say, tase them, lay a severe beating on them, throw them in jail for the night.
The beating would be with a phone book.
That seems a bit excessive, but you're the emperor.
Well, then don't be an idiot and throw a shoe.
Right.
Like, they're going to act like that person's the victim. How about don't take your shoe off and be an idiot and throw it at somebody? Like, that's what amazes me, that your reaction, like, people get mad at the reaction. How about take a look at what provoked the action? That's what I would love for people to actually take a step back.
Right. I think you would be revered as an emperor. I think your people would really support you.
There would be a lot. In today's world, people would hate me if I acted like that. Because you have to give everyone has to be on the same plane.
Yep.
You know, like you
politically
can't do that.
Correct.
Exactly.
Across the table,
can't
man.
Do that. And I personally believe in that, too. You have to treat people with respect. But at what point do you go, I'm not going to respect somebody here who's come on his... own recon, like a guy like
he's there supporting the city
supporting
of Toronto
thing,
because,
and I'm going to rip my shoe off and because I'm drunk or stoned.
I know it's tough. And to be honest with you, I'm a Timberlake fan too. I thought he handled it brilliantly afterwards. I remember him coming out and saying, hey, it's a tough crowd. There's Stones are here, AC/DC. I know not everyone's out there to see me, but I'm just here to support the city of Toronto, blah, blah, blah. So he handled it really well because you're right. He could have come out and said, are you kidding me? I flew up here probably on my own dime because it was like a...
For charity
and to raise money for the city. And
that's right. I would...
Timberlake.
Don't look at what I would do to them. Look at what that person did first, and then you decide the punishment. And it's not, you know, hey, you got to go sit in a chair for 2 minutes in the corner and get a timeout.
Yeah, I'm taking a lot of heat for my U2 hate.
U2's
whatever.
Good band.
Ray's coming up. You don't believe that for a second.
They're a great band. I just don't want to hear Bono talk about politics.
Okay.
That's my point.
All right. Ray's coming up later. The reason we brought that up is because everyone was in Pittsburgh last night, and U2 was playing Heinz Field. So they all went out there as a crew. And I wonder if Phil showed up.
No.
No way.
Night before a game, would that cause a disturbance if he was spotted out? Why couldn't he do that?
Because you're supposed to sit in your house and just think about the game. That's what people think. Like, I would be shocked if he did, but I wouldn't be mad at him if he...
Who cares?
If he was spotted in a luxury box with beers and, like, that's the problem.
Beers and bad food make it dicey.
Yeah.
But I would think Phil's probably doing that at home anyway. Maybe not beers, but little Xbox, order up a wheel before the game.
At this point, these guys playing in the final, they all have an entourage with them because every friend or family member has found a way to make it to the game or to, you know, weasel their way into the city or something. Like, I've heard stories where guys have to stay in the hotel in their own city because they don't want to be at home with all the distractions. Can you imagine, like, how many people come out of the woodwork?
And would be staying at your house?
Either staying at the house or hey, you know, Uncle Buck wants four tickets. Can you take care of him? And he's the guy who taught you how to pass the puck when you were six. And, like, I can't imagine. Like, oh, you have a tight family. I'm sure you took care of your initial family, but everyone else, like...
I had a guy from my hometown in the finals. I was driving into the rink, and he popped out of the trees right in front of the entrance where the players drive in. He goes, "Are you getting me tickets tonight?" I was like, "No."
Yeah.
Just out of the blue, just said, "Are you getting me tickets tonight?" I said, "No. It's way beyond time for that." Yeah. And I was just appalled.
Which is weird. Like,
wasn't it cool, though, when you guys first got to probably junior? And you could put tickets aside for people?
That was cool.
That was pretty cool.
It is cool.
Because I actually got to experience that.
But you also, you want to take care of people.
Yeah, but in the NHL, you pay for them.
Yeah. Oh, really? You don't get freebies?
No.
At home, you get two.
You get two and that's it.
Well, in junior, you only get a couple, too. I mean, you can't ask for 25 seats.
I know of a gentleman.
Carolina, you could.
I know of a gentleman in the finals that paid for 81 tickets.
How much did that cost?
Per game. I don't know. 81, what's a final ticket? I think $400 or $500 a ticket.
So we're talking like $30,000 a game?
Yeah.
Like, 30, 40 grand a game.
Isn't that gross?
That is a non-gi for me. Non-gi.
Right.
I went to the finals in Vancouver, Boston, Vancouver, and I had a buddy leave me two tickets because I wanted to sit in the stands. I just started with TSN. I did a little work with Gino, literally, on That's Hockey, and I wanted to have a couple drinks. It's like a 5 o'clock game, and the tickets were $550 each, I think. $565 or something. They're good lower bowl tickets. They left me two COD. Mm-hmm. He had access to two COD, and that's what I paid. Isn't that, like, that's a chunk.
That is crazy. Well, and that's the thing. You got to remember the market you're in.
Yeah.
Like, if Toronto ever got to a cup final, and let's say Mitch Marner, because he's from Toronto, wanted to buy 20 tickets... Cost him $20,000, more than that. For a cup final game? Like, game 7 cup final at the ACC, worst ticket in the house, I would think, if it was available, would cost $2,500. Like, worst seat in the house, probably $2,500, let alone the best seat, if it's available, lower bowl platinums, probably go for $40,000-$50,000.
Yeah.
I don't know, that might be excessive, but...
$40,000-$50,000 is excessive.
Probably $10,000. Like, we've heard of that before, right? Like, big games, game 7...
Right.
Wrigley Field or whatever it is, like people paying $10,000 to get into the building. I think if the Leafs had game 7 at home ice, first cup, someone would pay $10,000 for one ticket.
Would you?
No, sure. I wouldn't.
I thought I read...
I wouldn't pay $10,000.
I read online the other day that somebody for game 6 for Nashville paid... Wasn't Frank Cervelli tweeted it was like $30,000 for on the glass.
So there you go. There's 30 in tickets. Nash.
Yeah.
For two. So 15 a pop.
Yeah.
Then it's more than that.
It's
in
more
Toronto.
Than that.
Do you think like $40,000-$50,000 for like a pair for game 7?
Yes.
How much money do you have to have in the bank to even be able to contemplate that?
Zillions.
Idea?
Millions. Millions. Like $50,000 is a drop in the bucket for you if you're like. There are people that.
There's a lot of people in Toronto that have that kind of money.
But think about in Silicon Valley, like Golden State. The people that are in IPOs and. In
these guys are chartering $75,000 planes to go to a game.
That's what I'm saying.
What's so, 50 for
the
tickets?
Super fan for the Raptors? He goes to every road game too, and he's courtside every game.
Yeah, he's got a few bucks.
Yeah, that's got to be costing him a fortune.
That's what I'm saying. Like he, like,
but you, they, like he's not even big money, as far as I know. Like we're, like you want to talk big money?
Well, we're in the billions. B with
them. Right, and there are a number of them in Toronto, billionaires who are like, yeah, $50,000
Yeah,
imagine paying $50,000 for a ticket or for a pair of tickets to a game where the team could get blown out.
Yeah, but they could also win a Stanley Cup, and you're right.
That's the gamble. That's the gamble.
If they were playing Game 7 in Toronto, would you take out $50,000 to go to the game?
No.
No way?
No. No,
what if your wife okayed it?
Somebody would be standing.
My wife would never okay $50,000.
Somebody would be standing in front of him, and he would snap because we just talked about it. He wants to be.
Do you know, and plus, do you know how much more misery would come with that if they lost that game? You're already miserable that they lost, and then it dawns on you on the way out. I just pumped $50,000.
I think I would pay the $50,000.
To go see Game 7 at the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
For a pair of tickets. $25,000 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
I
spent $40,000 to go to see Charles Barkley in studio and never even went.
Yeah, but that was for charity, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, but...
Yeah, that wasn't smart.
Did you write that off? I hope you...
I'm sure there was... That was a tough call to the accountant in the morning.
I would think that would be one.
You had to have had a few drinks.
Yes.
Like, that's not a decision that you just go, hey, I need to stroke that.
I was trying to be a big wheel. I was like, okay, $10,000, I put my arm up. And I had spent $10,000 already on, like, silent
auction.
Just sports stuff, a Gretzky stick, a Peyton Manning helmet. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to be Bobby Big Wheel here. And you get to a point where you don't even think about the money. You just don't want to lose the bidding. And it got to $40,000, and my arm went up in the air, and I'm like, one more, and I'm out.
And that was it. Who were you trying to impress?
The chick I was with.
Was it Aloha?
Huh?
Yeah, she's a.
Dude,
she's just.
I'm not bringing appeal to a charity black tie event.
Wow.
I was going to say, I mean...
She's there just egging you on. Go higher, go higher.
$40,000. Why wouldn't you follow through and go see it? Why wouldn't you go meet Barkley?
It was just one of those things where the guy called me and emailed me a couple times. He's like, you know, you got this thing. Like, are you ever going to use it?
Maybe you should email him now.
Take advantage, man.
I've got a credit here.
I think they would tell me to stuff it for sure.
I wonder if you could circle back.
I think you've matured more. I don't think you would do that.
I wouldn't do that.
I don't think you would pay that kind of money to go see a Leaf game.
For sure would.
Well, I support you then. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would.
Bring me if you can. You spend that kind of money. I'll chip in 5%.
That's a lot of money still.
5%.
But you're bang on with if you walk out of the building and they lose. Tough.
Oh, dude, that would be so gross. But I hate when people complain afterwards. It happens all the time. I should get my money back. No, you shouldn't. This is what you pay for, man. That's the beauty of sports. You don't know what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah. I know. Like $40,000 to go into a game and it's 5-0 after one for the opposition and it's game over.
Oh, it's sickening.
People are leaving.
It's sickening. It's sickening.
You think tonight will be a good game?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we're finally going to get. I mean, there's been good games. Like game 4 was a good game.
Good game.
But I'm talking, I know you don't want to hear this.
You're talking OT.
Overtime or a close game and a legendary moment late in the game tonight.
I'll take a legendary moment.
In regulation.
Yeah.
I just want something we can come in here tomorrow and be like, wow, how about this guy? How about that play?
I know, but it still pissed me off. We come in here today about Golden State, and there's some great storylines, but I'm still annoyed at, like, Kevin Love. And then, you know, Tristan Thompson.
Not contributing enough.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm annoyed about because I just wanted Cleveland to make a series of it.
Well, are you on board with me now? You want to see history? Do you want to see Golden State win tomorrow night?
Yes.
No, I don't.
You want Cleveland to win?
I just don't want to sweep. I think it's just it's.
But we've gone this far, Noodles.
I know. I don't know why. I can't give you a legitimate excuse as to why. I just feel bad for LeBron. I feel bad. Like, I think Kyrie bounced back and. He was jumping
night.
Last, but
great
then
night.
Near the end, like
nope.
he needed to be better.
Yep, didn't help.
But
didn't
I just, help. I'm looking at this Kevin Love character, and you can tell why he's one of those frustrating players that leaves you wanting more.
Classic hot or cold guy, third guy in the band. He's the bassist. he's important, but no one really pays attention.
He's a bass player. He keeps the beat. Works with the drummer.
Yeah, And you notice it if it's off.
Right.
But if it's humming along, the guy's just kind of in the background doing his thing.
Well, he wasn't. He was off tune last night.
He was. All right, Ray's going to join us from Pitt. We'll get his take on Game 5 tonight. How much pressure's on Phil Kessel to break loose? And which goaltender has to prove that they can break out tonight? Because Murray hasn't been great the past two games, but the last time Pekka Rinne was in Pitt, it was ugly for him. So we'll discuss that and let you hear what Pierre LeBrun had to say about Sami Vatanen and the idea of the Leafs potentially pursuing that defenseman out of Anaheim. We'll get to that next. Andy texting into 105050 with a great hypothetical.
Yeah, what's he got?
This may even be a future headline. You could phrase it either way. What would you rather pay top dollar for?
Okay.
Game 7 Cup Finals at home, ACC, or Game 7 Conference Finals against the Habs?
Ooh. Interesting.
Or Weekend Away with Brandy Love.
Let's not include that option.
No.
Which one would you go with?
Give me them again.
Which one would you pay more money for? Game 7 Cup Final against whoever in the West, or right. Game 7 Conference Final against the Montreal Canadiens?
Cup Final.
Cup Final.
Man, I'd want to be in that building against the Habs, though. Wouldn't that be something else?
It would be. But
Cup Final obviously means more, but there's something about the idea of the Leafs and Habs playing in the playoffs that would be very enticing.
What kind of trouble are you in personally if you did not talk to your wife and took out 40 or 50 grand to go to a sporting event? And then
afterwards she found out?
Are you in massive, like, are you, how big a trouble?
I wouldn't be in trouble, necessarily. Like, we've got different accounts. We have a shared account, and then we've got our own accounts.
Right.
So if I was using my own money, I mean, I would just be like, it's my money. But she would obviously be like, are you insane?
And they're both professionals. Like, your wife's a working.
Right, yeah, she works.
And she makes good money.
Like, so she's a worker. She's not a lady of the night.
You know what I mean.
Your woman is a worker, right?
Hey.
Yeah, she's a pro.
You said that about Aloha, and I didn't like that.
I shouldn't have said that. You're right. Yes, no, she's a pro. She does her own thing, very independent in many ways.
Right. So
very good at what she does.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think there'd be a problem.
Well, but it would be to reverse it, like if she spent 40 or 50 grand to go see
Beyonce.
Whatever, Beyonce, I'd be like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah. Backstage pass with Beyonce.
I mean, we got a kid now. We've got bills to pay. We got things that maybe we could experience together. I think that would be the problem.
Yeah.
Am I bringing her or am I bringing one of you guys? If I'm bringing her, I think if you're bringing her,
it's a boss move. Because you think that much of her that you're spending 50 grand to take her to a hockey game. I think girls are all over that stuff, man.
I think I'd be able to sell it a lot better. Yeah, if I'm bringing her, if I'm going with one of my buddies or something, that it's an impossible sell.
By the way, just an FYI, you don't have different accounts.
What do you mean?
You all have one account.
Your shared account.
You don't have your own. You don't have
legally.
Your own,
he's talking about legally.
Like, no, I'm telling you legally, you don't have your own account, and you know what I'm talking about.
I think I understand what you're saying, but technically,
and the man on the phone knows what I'm talking about as well.
Right, if it ever got to a point where
it's all half.
Everything's included. Let's head to Pitt. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Hi, Ray.
You can think you whatever you want. They take an axe and they just friggin' rifle it right over the middle of everything.
Yeah, I know. It's a good point.
Here's the left half of the table. Here's the right half.
Then
the
bottom
table.
Of the axe goes up your ass and you're done.
By the way, and when you're finished writing these checks, it'll all be fine.
Really. That's when the axe comes back.
The happiest day of my life was when Landon turned 18.
Right. Then you can move on with your life officially. Is that what you're saying?
He's like, why are you hugging me so hard? No reason, son. Yeah.
There'll be 3 Range Rovers coming up when my girls are all 18, buddy. I love you so much.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought of it that way. How really it doesn't matter what I think I might have.
You don't have you don't have anything, dude. Trust me, you have nothing.
Well, anyway. We're talking hypothetics, and I'm sure you don't want to really get into it anyway, Ray, but just the idea of spending big money on sporting events without knowing the outcome, I mean, it's the ultimate gamble, isn't it?
Oh, well, are you talking about the guys that are spending tickets? Or
yes. What do you mean? Like, for Red Sox, if they were in the World Series, would you spend $50,000 to go see them win the championship?
Not a chance.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't mean that much to me, I don't think, to be there. But I guess if you're spending that kind of money, you must have dollars falling out of your pocket all over the place.
Well,
right?
I don't have dollars falling out of my pocket. I do have money, but there's only one thing I would do it for, and that's Maple Leafs Game 7 to win the Stanley Cup at home. I wouldn't even go on the road for it. It would have to be at home. I would probably call my advisor and say, put $50,000 in my account because I want to go to the game.
Wow. There's not anything I can think of that I would go, yeah, you know what? But you know what? Maybe the first year, because this is different. So now the Red Sox have won three times, you know, since 2004. And so it doesn't feel as new or strange or rare or, you know, maybe for the Leafs it would be way different, like, because it would be way different. It would be the first time in your lifetime, right? And that would mean something. But if it was the third time, I don't know. Like, aren't these guys paying, like, $42,000 to go see the Predators play Game 6?
Exactly.
That's, yeah, I thought I read that. I don't know. Was that the number? I thought it was like $30,000 or $40,000 for tickets on the glass.
Yeah, just the ones I read were, I thought I read $42,000 right behind right behind the bench, which, by the way, you can't see anything anyway. So you'll stand and see the back of Lavi's ass.
Awful tickets.
$42,000.
They really are. It would suck being right behind the bench. Guys are moving around. The coaches.
You can't see anything.
You can't see anything.
So you spend that money and watch the game on the clock.
Yeah, that would be terrible. And that may not even be a winnable or like a cup potential game for Nashville. If they lose tonight, you could pay that kind of money to watch another team win a Stanley Cup in your building. That would be difficult.
That would be tough. And then they can just step outside and turn right on the Broadway for the Country Music Award weekend. So if they spent $42,000 inside, can you imagine what they're going to drown it with to make it feel better?
Oh man, I can only imagine. It's so true. You'd have to find a way to forget quickly. And I think a couple bars down there would have the medicine for that.
How was U2 last night?
Very good. I don't know if you guys are U2 fans, but I am. And they played basically start to finish the Joshua Tree. And we had a pile of people coming up to us from Toronto that had driven down to watch the show because they didn't get tickets for the show. I guess it's the 23rd in Toronto. And so they drove down, and I mean, it was, those guys they can still bang it out, that's for sure. I'm sure we were like, man, I wonder how bored they are singing The Streets Have No Name for the 18,000th time. But it sounded pretty awesome to us.
It's a good point. They've played all those songs, their whole catalog.
They also know that's what made them what they are. So I think those guys are fine with it. I often wondered that too. If you've ever talked to people in music, like their bread and butter songs that made them the millions of dollars and gave them the fanfare. Like everyone I ever asked, they said, "Yeah, I have no problem playing it because that's why."
Don't forget where you came
exactly,
from.
Like that's why I'm here.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt.
When they came right out of the gate with Streets Have No Name and the video boards are literally, I've never been to a show in a football stadium before. And so the video boards behind them, they got to be 50 or 60 or 70 yards long. Like they're gigantic. And it was outstanding. And they're who they are, right? Like they're one of the great bands that our generation's known. And the fact that I know that album made it that much more fun.
Ray, what do you make of Malkin coming out saying Phil's going to score the next game? It's time. Like, if I was his teammate, now all of a sudden there's this attention on Phil where it's. I just wouldn't be happy about that.
See, I felt it was like he was.
Like an endorsement?
Was being really positive. Like, I think it's right there for him. You know, it's around the corner. He had 8 shot attempts. And, like, that's how I took it. I do think, though, like, he needs to realize that, you know, it could be right around the corner for Kessel, but he needs Malkin's help. Like, Malkin was a non-factor in Nashville. Like, not even close. I didn't even really notice him.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Malkin, when you got to do it, too. Like, you got to step up and play better, too. For him to come out and say, I think it's Phil's time, he's going to score, it's like, I don't know. I wouldn't be happy about it.
Well, there's no way they can look around most of those guys and say, yeah, I've been at the peak of my game here. You know, I mean, like, there's guys that are so injured that they can't really make much of an impact. And, guys like Hagelin and Hornquist I would put in that spot. You know, those two guys look like they're going to play together on the fourth line, for example, with Carter Roney. And you're like, wow, that's not where those guys should be playing, but that's the health point that they're at. So there's that, and then there's guys that seemingly are healthy but have not been able to make an impact. And then I would look at, you know, at Crosby or at Kessel and Malkin as the start of that. Now, Malkin scored both games at home. He's got 17 points in the playoffs at home, but just 9 on the road. And so maybe he feels more comfortable. Maybe he gets a bump. Oh, they need him tonight. I mean, that's supposed to be their strength. That's supposed to be the place where they have the advantage. And that's not been the case.
It's been a tale of two different series for both goalies. Pekka Rinne was under siege after the first two games, and now that has shifted to Matt Murray, to the point where some people were speculating on the idea of Marc-Andre Fleury actually playing tonight, and that's not going to happen, and I don't think it was ever even close. But the focus is on Murray because of the past two games, but considering the way Pekka Rinne played in Pittsburgh the first two games, which goalie do you think has more pressure on themselves tonight?
Oh, Rinne. For me, it's not even close. I think the Penguins have more pressure on them as a team because, you lose tonight, then you got to go down to that madhouse and try and keep your season alive. That doesn't seem like a really great proposition. But for the goalies, Rinne was so bad and so unlucky, and things went so poorly for him in the first two games, and his road record is 5-5 as compared to 9-1 at home. I really think that he would feel a little heat tonight. I mean, they got to win one on the road. It's not going to get easier. And so how would, Noodles, from the goalie's mind, I mean, they could only stop one shot at a time, but I would think there's he would feel the desperation of having a great game tonight.
And the one thing with Pekka, when you watch him, he's an excitable goaltender, and he treads that line, right? Because I like his explosiveness. I like how he uses his athleticism, and he's a big guy. But sometimes he gets in trouble when he chases the puck, and he's an excitable goaltender. Sometimes he tries to do too much. And in those first couple games where he wasn't facing shots, and then when he was, you could see he was down early. He was making some poor decisions. Second couple games where he was really sharp, those decisions worked out for him. So I think there's some confidence there going into game 5, but it has to be in the back of his mind. I was just reading a stat. I think he's played 5 games in Pittsburgh. He's 0-5 with a .485 goals against average and an 8.833 save percentage. So he hasn't played well in Pitt, but I think he's playing a confident game right now. And I look for a big game from him, but I think Murray has to have one too. Like, I know you would hate to see this, Ray, but this if Pittsburgh wins, it could be an ugly low one. But for some reason, in the back of my mind, I think that Phil's going to have a night. I don't know why. I just feel like Phil Kessel could be the story tonight.
I think for the game is in Pitt's benefit if it's 2-1, if it's tight, if it's. You know, I just feel like that's the way for Pitt right now, even though I think their defense is just literally hanging on by a thread. But something tells me that Kessel will score. I don't really know why. It's not like he's been so dangerous. You're like, oh, it's right around the corner. It's coming for sure. I don't feel that. But I kind of think he's probably due. But I also think Philip Forsberg's going to get on the board here. Before this series is over, Forsberg will score. That's what I feel.
Well, it really is. It has to be benefiting Crosby and Malkin and Murray that we keep talking about Phil and the importance of Phil breaking loose.
Like, that's why I wouldn't have liked the Malkin comments. It's like all this attention now. It's
right, but in a way, this could be like a diversion. Like, hey, go look at Phil and let's focus on Phil. And meanwhile, the best player in the world, we're not even talking about what Sid has to do tonight.
Well, I think he has to be instrumental as well, but
I would think, but you know, like I used this comparison earlier, Ray. This is like going into the NBA Finals and saying, man, Kevin Love better win this game tonight. And it's like, no, LeBron and Kyrie Irving better lead the way. And yeah, Kevin Love has to contribute, but Kessel is Kevin Love. He's not LeBron.
You know what I'd say that, Brian, is that I think most of us feel like it's more likely that Crosby's game will be at a high level than, and there'll be less question of that, that he can get there, whether you would think that of Phil, as opposed to Phil.
Sure.
Like, I you know, Crosby was outstanding in game four, and he had a goal. He probably should have had a couple assists. Gensel missed a wide-open net, and then he missed another one-timer. Just the way it happened. Those were Crosby passes. Well, you know, Phil has been, you know, I called him Toronto Phil for a couple of the games. You know, like that last year in Toronto when he's just kind of skating around in the circle. Mm-hmm. That's what he's looked like at times. And so I'm like, man, there's more there, and it's, you know, it's there. And where is it? And so I think there's a little more question that he's going to find that, as opposed to thinking, well, of course Crosby is going to get there. You know, maybe it's unfair, but that's kind of what I think most people look at.
As we get closer to the draft, more and more rumors are coming out, closer to the expansion draft as well, to see what Vegas is going to do or what kind of ripple effect that will have on the league. We're going to be focusing on a lot more rumors and potential trades, and the insiders were down in Pitt last night talking about this, and Pierre LeBrun suggested that he believes it'll be Sammy Vatanen who will be available at Anaheim, and he's a right-shot defenseman, can put up some points under contract at a very economical price for at least another 3 years, I believe. And Pierre did say he believes the Leafs were one of many teams lining up for a guy like Vatanen. What's your take on Vatanen as a player and, moreover, as a fit if it were to actually happen with the Leafs?
As everybody or people probably know, he's small, maybe 5'10"-ish, right-handed, feisty, gets up in the play, can really shoot the puck. You know, the challenge, of course, is defending bigger people. In his zone, that would be the knock on him. But he's good. He's a good player. I like him. He competes. He's, you know, he fits into the age range of the, you know, of the Leafs young core. So, you know, I think that's important as they add too, that, you know, you want guys that are growing together. The fact that he's under team control for, you know, the 3 years you talk about is very important as well. I like that. And now you got to wait for him, right? He's going to be months before he's ready to go, but I don't think in the big picture that's really a problem.
I think it would be an interesting approach for the Leafs. I think it would be them conceding, which is an obvious concession, that, you know, we're not going to sit around and wait for Hedman to become available or Doughty or Carlson. That top seven or eight guy in the league isn't going to be there.
Right.
And maybe also we see where the game is going. It's about pace. It's about skill. It's about puck movement. We don't need the conventional big, tough defenseman to fit in with the top four, because if the Leafs actually acquired Vatanen, and at this point it's only conjecture and rumor, you would have a top four of Riley, Zaitsev, Gardner, Vatanen. None of them are big, bruising defensemen, but all of them can skate, all of them can make a first pass. It would be somewhat of a revolutionary top four in a way, wouldn't it, Ray? I mean, without
look at
bruiser.
Nashville's, though. There's no bruiser there.
That's true, right? And it works for them.
Like and look how they can move. They can skate. They move the puck. They provide a whole heck of a lot of offense. To get a big stay-at-home physical defenseman, man, you might as well go get a Brontosaurus. I mean, those guys they can't play. They can't keep up. If you can't move the puck and you can't skate, then you can't play. So if you're big, you better be able to get around the ice. Like, Victor Hedman's a giant, and he gets around the ice in about three strides. Like, he's an awesome player. Yeah. But those guys are hard to come by. So if you can find guys that can move the puck, and you can, you know, you can stomach that they might get beat by a bigger forward, then I think that's, I think without question, that's the way the league is looking. Now, you can teach a guy to defend. You can teach a guy to, you know, to have better body position. Look what they've done with Gardner. I mean, he was a couple of years ago, man, the guy's a train wreck in his zone. You never knew what he was going to do. And then last year, he's, you know, he's grown in the last 2 years. How could you be dissatisfied with the year he had? He had an excellent year. So it makes a lot of sense for me. But I will say, let me say this before I forget. Like, I read a quote from Brad Treliving today, and I think it, I never really thought of this, but I'm like, man, that is really important. So Calgary's GM, Treliving, was doing an interview, and he said the idea of getting a player through Vegas is really intriguing. And I'm like, man, I never even really thought of that. So think of Vegas collecting players and then trading some of those players for draft picks. And I'm like, wow, that makes perfect sense. And so maybe guys that are exposed become potential trade targets because, as he mentioned, you know, Vegas is collecting assets. Doesn't mean they're their assets. It means they're assets that they can move along. And I thought that was really interesting.
It's a different angle.
Yeah.
I'm not sure anyone's really prepared for how this is going to play out.
I can't wait for it because I don't know. I believe that there's going to be a ton of movement. I really
remember
do.
The league didn't want to, oh, nobody's interested in these protected lists. And oh, stop it. This is going to be so much fun.
Well,
I'd
love
to be sitting in George McPhee's office and sitting there with, like, he must have, like, whiteboards upon whiteboards with scribbles all over them. I mean, it's got to be a pretty interesting time.
Hayes doesn't want to watch the expansion draft.
No, I'm not going to do it. I will not watch.
What are you going to watch instead, Hayes? Dora?
Maybe. Yeah, Sophia the First, or, I don't know, Jane and her dragon, or whatever that
Nasha
is.
The Bear.
Yeah, all those. Listen, man, it's quite the scene at the Hayes household right now. It's amazing how the second my daughter walks into a room, she doesn't even watch TV. It's just, it's got to be on in the background.
Yeah,
I'm sitting there watching, like, the Comey, you know, committee or whatever, and real life stuff, and yet, uh-oh, she's in the room, so we better fire up Treehouse.
Mike the Knight.
Or Mike the Knight.
Dude, get her the iPad.
She's too young
iPad,
for that.
Well, she might be a little small for the iPad and the headset yet. No?
Yeah. She's only 18 months. She hasn't quite figured that out.
You fire up Dora on that iPad, she'll like the iPad. Trust me.
It's a good point. I'll look into it. All right, buddy. Enjoy yourself tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow.
Talk to you from Nashville. See you, boys.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.
I think our kid had an iPad at 18 months because I remember her doing talk text, and she pressed the button and said, bubble guppies, and it came up on YouTube.
Bubble guppies, that's another big one in the rotation.
Like, she's pretty fluent on that. She's four now, but she's pretty fluent on that YouTube.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Like, she goes down some dark paths, so I have to take it away and sort it out.
That's what you got to be careful of, because you don't know where the YouTube suggestions are going to take them.
She's watching, like, some weird things the other day. We had to sort it out. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't think you can filter that stuff either.
No, I don't, but I don't know how it goes from...
Like, you know, Dora the Explorer to 9/11 conspiracies.
Yeah, like,
it's like, how did you get watching
but
this?
But she gets scared of it, so you got to sort it back out.
All right. We got Bobby Mack coming up later in the afternoon. We'll get more into the Sammy Vatanen situation with him. David Price getting paid $217 million from the Boston Red Sox. Not doing media anymore. He's done with the Boston media. This is a city. All they do is win. All they do is win. This guy's getting paid this kind of money, and
he's making a major mistake with those comments.
He sounds very petulant. I don't think this
what
is going to help.
Don't ask me personal questions.
Yeah, and if I'm not pitching that day, you can't talk to me. I'm done with one-on-ones. Yeah, don't talk to me when I'm pitching. I'll give you very generic answers.
What led to that, though? Like, to me, it seems like he thinks, from the comments I saw, he thinks that he was being very friendly last year, and then he's getting roasted, so he's like, to hell with this. Why? If I'm getting roasted, everyone's done.
Which he has the right to do, but I don't agree with this.
Okay, we'll bring this back up. We'll get into it in the 6 p.m. hour. We'll keep teeing up the game tonight. We'll get back into what went down last night, how Golden State stole that game out of Cleveland, and are we rooting for 16-0 more than a four-game comeback by Cleveland? Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Bobby Mack live from the Cup Final around 6:10, 6:15. We get back into these David Price comments in Boston. He's not talking with the media anymore when he's not pitching that day. Look back on the NBA Finals last night. We didn't get into the story yesterday about the Bills corner, Sharice Wright, taking the Uber from Chicago to Buffalo. And it cost him over $900 because he was supposed to fly in, I guess, the night before. But his flight got canceled, and OTAs are currently ongoing, which are technically optional. But he's been kicking around the league. He's on a one-year deal, so it's not optional for him. He's got to be there. I guess he freaked out, and he couldn't find another way to get to Buffalo, so he ordered an Uber. The guy drove across four states, and it cost over it. $600. He gave him a $300 tip. It was like $950.
That's a cheap drive.
Yeah, I thought it would be way more than that.
Likewise.
I once paid $225 from the underground to my house in North York.
Well, you got screwed over then.
It was one of those Uber, like...
prime times?
Yeah, like it was Uber, whatever it is, times four something, and you press the wrong button, and it's like an SUV, and I don't remember.
You can imagine if you're leaving the underground what your lifestyle was like at that point.
So that's a pretty good rate if you're driving that.
Not bad, huh?
Well, the guy, given a tip.
I guess there's a Buffalo, Illinois, and when he ordered it saying, I got to go to Buffalo, he thought he was going to Buffalo, Illinois. And this guy's like, no, I play for the Bills. We're talking New York. Like, let's get hopping here. And the Uber driver committed to it, and they got a new coach down there in Buffalo, Sean McDermott. And he was pumping the tires of Sharice Wright, saying, that's what we're looking for, that kind of commitment.
Right.
That guy didn't do anything. The Uber driver is the one that showed commitment.
He should be hired by the team.
Right. He should be somehow brought on board as like the new bus driver or something.
I guess. That
Chicago to Buffalo.
Dude, if he doesn't get that Uber, he's not a hero for getting the Uber. If he doesn't get there, he's probably released.
He's cut.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I was watching Jeff Fisher the other day. A guy had a girl in his hotel room at like mini camp. And he was like, we have a rule that you don't... And I thought he was going to say, don't ever do it again. He goes, I got to cut you.
You're out.
I was like, what?
Wow.
The NFL is ruthless. Like, if you're not one of the best players on the team, they will cut you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Heartbeat.
The poor guy, he was a wide receiver. He's like, nothing really happened. We were just hanging out. He goes, well...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're going to cut you.
Nothing really happened yet. But what was my plan long term?
Well...
What do you think this guy had in mind? Anyway,
I'm pretty sure we know what he was
doing. That's a 533-mile drive. Like, I'm still looking at this.
It was like, it took them like 9 hours.
Yeah, it's at 8 hours and 43 minutes.
Chicago to Buffalo.
I'm surprised it wasn't like $2,500.
I thought it would be that, too. If you asked me beforehand how long...
It was probably Uber X.
He's in like a Civic.
Yeah, a Civic. And they're just grinding it out on the highway.
I think you'd have to buy the guy food and stuff too, right?
Absolutely.
Have to pull over at some point and be like, let's hit McDonald's like I'm buying.
Well, if he pull over and destroy a gas station.
Imagine you left him at a gas station somewhere in like Ohio. All right, so Bobby Mack coming up. We'll tee up game five of the Cup Final, get back into these Sammy Vatanen reports and the idea that the Leafs might be kicking tires on him. And are we rooting for 16-0 now that the Warriors are on the verge of it happening? Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.